Welcome back, Finn. Welcome back, friends. So we left off with we're avoiding naming nations, every nation in the list, because we're looking at a particular pattern. Babylon did get singled out because it was an archetype. It was being used in an archetype way, and it's part of an inclusio for this particular section introduced at the beginning and the end. So it was part of the structure of our consideration. So now we're into Isaiah 24, when the world comes apart. So I felt that we needed to have a little bit of orientation, all of us as we approach this, and this is one proposal. Isaiah 24 often unsettles first-time readers because it sounds cosmic, catastrophic, and final. The key to reading it well is to recognize what kind of language Isaiah is using and why. That's correct. You need to define your terms. I mean, you could have a drinking game every time I say that when we're reading scripture or anything else of serious exposition as well. Define your terms. Define your terms. Okay. Isaiah 24 uses de creation, de-dash creation language. The prophet describes the world unraveling in terms that echo Genesis in reverse. This is m not meant to provide a literal timetable of end time events. It is a way of telling the truth about what happens when moral order collapses. Rather than focusing on specific disasters, the reader should attend to cause and effect. Isaiah portrays a world destabilized because truth has been violated. When covenant faithfulness erodes, the social and natural order begin to fracture. Moral disorder produces cosmic instability. This chapter is therefore not fear-mongering. I'll repeat that. It is not fear-mongering. It is truth-telling. Isaiah is naming the consequences of treating truth as optional. The intensity of the imagery matches the seriousness of the diagnosis. Isaiah 24 should also be read within its larger context. It follows the judgment of the nations in Isaiah 13:23, which we've taken up in prior episodes, and prepares the way for the hope that follows in Isaiah 25 to 27. This chapter does not stand alone. It's right. Text out of context is pretext. It just is. It exposes what must be confronted before healing can occur. Isaiah 24 will require restraint. The goal is not to decode every image, but to grasp the central claim: when people abandon truth, the world they inhabit becomes unstable. Judgment names that reality so that restoration can eventually take place. And maybe I should. Isaiah 24 is one of the most unsettling chapters in the book, and it's meant to be. The language is severe because the truth it names is severe. And here Isaiah describes what can only be called by quite a few scholars decreation. The earth is laid waste and scattered. Order gives way to instability. Joy dries up. Cities empty. This is not random catastrophe. Isaiah is very clear about the cause. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, he says, for they have transgressed laws, violated statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Isaiah 24:5. And it shows, yes, when truth is treated as optional.
It feels heavy, but it needs to. I like that you speak of the severity because the truth is severe, And I think we can just in this like postmodern world that we're living in where people treat truth as this sort of whatever you want it to be,
Right.
And if we can see the unsettling that comes from that just in our own world.
That's right. That's right. I have a dear friend, dear, dear friend, good woman, and she was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's. That's pretty severe. That's very, very severe. And I'm sure the doctor did not want to tell her, right? He didn't want to be the one to give that judgment of her health condition. And he would have been held to account if, he didn't want to upset her, feel bad, and not tell. And then she herself would not know how to make sense of what was happening to her and do whatever treatments. You see, there really is this consequence to not knowing what's going on. And we have, as you point out, more relativism here. I mean, it's the heavy hand. You want to talk about totalitarianism? That's more relativism, and that's what we that truth is. It's just an opinion, and we can all make it up as and go along. Except when it occurs against us, right? Then we don't like people lying to us, stealing our money, mislabeling things,
Exactly.
Right.
Just this, it's so wild too, just this day and age with the amount of things now online that are just blatantly untrue, but presented as truth. And it's insane. We just can, there's so much. I have such a hard time even getting on social media now because I don't want to be tricked, and I don't want to be made upset about something that didn't even happen or something that did actually happen to be made less intense or true than it was, And I just, it's, there's so much deception just rampant. And it feels like we are experiencing all of the instability that comes from that.
Quote, Micah, God is so gracious to allow us this moment. And you bring up something profoundly, profoundly true is what is truth, right? And how does one recognize it? Because that's really at the end of the day is the question, right? You don't want to get on social media or people tell you things and maybe they're exaggerating, maybe it's all out of whole cloth, maybe it's true, right? That was the questions Pontius Pilate had for Jesus. He's talking to truth. I am the way, the truth, and life, right? That's one of his his core values, if we have to be somewhat the lingo, right? It's as core is truth. I am truth. What is truth? And that is, I think, what Isaiah, who, let's use another phrase, he write the Shakespeare, certainly of the Old Testament, Shakespeare, and that was Shakespeare's, one of his gifts, help us to understand what is truth. As opposed to opinion or a fact or I don't know, the lies, half lies, right? That sort of thing. So
It's wild.
it is wild.
It just makes you feel like, yeah, judgment must be on its way, because of how much untruths there are now and just blatant lies.
Just plain
Yeah. Makes me think.
well, friends, we either laugh or we cry, and it's true. It is true. We all know it's true. All right, friends, let us come back. Please, God, Isaiah, let us not wallow in these valley of tears. Till the next time, my friends, vide sub ratio.